welcome, welcome, welcome to Sunday's Best. It's your boy Big Q. This is Sunday's Best, episode number 9. Play NFL week 14 in season 2020. Crazy last week stuff, man. We had a lot to discuss, a lot to divulge, a lot to get into, that kind of thing. I actually enjoyed the games last week and that kind of thing. So it was pretty good stuff to talk about. We got to put a pretty interesting show for you guys this week. I'm gonna get into this situation with Dez Bryant, you know, being confirmed for COVID-19 while he was at the game. You know, we're gonna talk about that. We're going to talk about, you know, Greg Williams and the New York Jets, man, how they almost had one. They let it kind of slip away from them. We're going to talk about that as well. Later on in the show, I am going to do a little crash. I'm going to crash my homie Glass, you know, contributor and collaborator of the show. I'm going to crash his podcast, the Sages West podcast, because on the live show last night, he claimed that we made some gentleman's agreement or some gentleman's bet over the summer or last year or some crap like that. He mentioned on last night's live show. And I said, you know what? I am going to crash your podcast and we're going to debate the situation. It basically is a situation between his Denver Broncos and my Carolina Panthers and stuff like that. You know, so yeah, later on I'm going to crash the Sage Sports podcast and get on his nerves a little bit, you know, talk a little bit of football, chop it up with him a little bit. It should be fun. I'm actually looking forward to it. It should be a pretty good time. I'm actually thinking that the conversation that we can have is probably gonna be pretty good. The conversation usually is pretty good between us, you know, so that's gonna be interesting. Yeah, I hope everybody's doing okay. I want to give a shout out to everybody who've been supporting this endeavor here, the Sunday's Best podcast. I've been having a lot of fun doing it. It's been giving me another outlet outside of the live show that we do every week. This platform has been great. I want to give a shout out to the folks at Anchor for, you know, making this a super easy situation. I definitely, you know, wouldn't be able to, I wouldn't feel as comfortable doing a podcast on my own if it wasn't as easy as it was on, as it is on Anchor. So I definitely appreciate that. Everybody who's checking the show out on the various platforms, podcast platforms, there's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, all the places that the podcast has been, you know, represented at, and you guys are downloading and watching it and sharing it with your friends and stuff. I think it's pretty dope. You know what I mean? I invite everybody to come and check me out on social media, man. I'm on the old IG, doing stuff on the IG. You post little clips and snippets of the podcast, other behind-the-scenes stuff as I prep and prepare for the show, stuff like that, and just random thoughts that I may have. Team Boy TV on Facebook. You can always check that out. Follow me on Twitter at Team Boy TV and that sort of a thing. So we got all that going on. So let's get into the meat of the show. The first thing I want to do is we're going to take a look at the situation with Dez Bryant, man. I found it kind of funny, and we'll discuss it. But let's get into it, and let's see what Mr. Ryan Clark had to say about it.
It's actually kind of scary. You know, you almost wish that they just wouldn't have pulled him and just tricked us and pulled the wool over our eyes. Because, listen, Dez Bryant was on the field pregame. Dez Bryant was hugging members of the Cowboys staff, warming up with obviously players in his locker room and on his own team. And so that's scary. It's scary to know that even with the constant testing, that you can have a guy preparing to play a game who is COVID positive. And I think, you know, on the other side of it, the football side of it, sucks for Dez, don't it? Like, it seems like dude can't catch a break. He's obviously getting opportunity to play against his old team. He's extremely excited. And it's not like they told him in the morning or they told him the day before. You've gotten to the stadium. You know, you probably took you some Zip Fizz or some pre-workout. You're fired up. You got your Juvie and the Hot Boys on your headphones. And then they come get you and tell you can't play. Like, that has to be a difficult situation for Dez. And so the way that the whole thing transpired is definitely strange. But the NFL says, you know, it contact traced. It did everything that it possibly could to make sure all the players were safe. Obviously, it just sucks with the timing for Dez Bryant.
Now, I don't know, man. I listened to that story, and it's a little bit weird, because how does a player get all the way out to the stadium and out on the football field and get to warm up and, you know, and hug and dap up and visit old friends. Like, you know, dude, he's his first start and I don't know how long and all this kind of stuff. And he had there jumping around and hugging and dapping up everybody and all this stuff. And then, you know, a few minutes later, they come back into him and they tell him, yo, bro, you know, your test came back positive or whatever. First of all, I don't know how I get to, how does it get that far? How does it get to that point where a player is allowed to walk onto a football field with other people? I don't know that, you know, so, you know, we debated this on the live show last night and, you know, and I've been a staunch supporter of what the NFL has been doing during this whole COVID-19 situation, you know, being able to do everything in their power to stave off this virus and give us the football season that we all wanted. And they've been doing everything in their power. In fact, the last podcast talked about how they enacted the extreme measures, phase two, if you will, of this whole COVID-19 preparedness. And stuff like this still happens. It kind of boggles the mind a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, you know how, you know, we know about all of the sanitation processes and testing processes and protocols that they got in place. And this has been in place since the beginning of the season. And really, really shocking to me that a player was allowed to get that deep. And, they, you know, and was clear to play. And I mean, Lord knows if he had remained out there for any amount of time longer, the damage he could have caused, you know, the more people he could have came in contact with, so on and so forth. And also, you know, what about the people he did come in contact with in the course of the whole prepping for the game, you know, arriving to the facility, going to the stadium, you know, going through the trainer situation and dealing with all them and all the staffers and the training people and the other players and the coaching staff that he came in contact with during that time. I mean, we don't know what's going on with them. They still had to go back home to their families and stuff. And the fact that they still played the game with a person in the vicinity with a positive COVID, it baffles me. It really does. I don't know. I don't really know what to really say beyond what I think. It is crazy. It is. I don't know how they let something like that happen. And then this is what Dez says. He says, "Tell me why they pulled me from warming up so I can get tested." That's what he posted on Twitter. And then he says, "I tested positive for COVID. The crazy thing is I have the same routine. This S don't make no sense to me." I don't know. It's weird because this is how they explain it. They said, according to the NFL, Bryant's polymerase chain reaction test, his PCR test, Tuesday morning was inconclusive. So was the retest. The results came back Tuesday evening because the lab is in Maryland. Shortly before 7 p.m., the Ravens were notified of the inconclusive test and followed league protocol by treating it as a positive one. 2 minutes later, Bryant was removed from the locker room and placed in an isolation room at M&T Bank Stadium. Around 7:30, Bryant's latest test returned a positive result, and he was ruled out of the game. Immediately after being pulled from the field, Bryant sat for a contact tracing interview with league and NFL Players Association officials, who also uploaded data from the movement tracking device Bryant was wearing. Based on the interview and the results from the device, officials felt confident there were no high-risk close contacts, according to sources. According to the league's COVID-19 policy, close contact does not include brief interactions such as walking past someone. Every other player on both teams tested negative on Tuesday. So they feel like everything is everything. They just pull the one guy, you know, and the fact that, you know, that should have been the rule from the beginning. If the test comes back inconclusive, you should treat it as a comeback positive. That's what you should do. And you know, and all that kind of stuff. So it's a weird, very weird situation. Very strange, you know, happening the way that whole thing, you know, kind of went down. It's just very weird, very strange. But of course, you know, as it stands right now on Thursday, this is Thursday, a couple of days later, no more reports have come out of the Ravens, you know, facility. So apparently, they got it. They nipped it in the butt, you know. So Maybe everything is always well. I don't know. It's just, you know, the thing is, I'm one of them kind of people who I'm pushing for the football because I love football. And I know this season has been weird. And the way they've been presenting the game has been a little strange. And then I had to move and shuffle things around. They done did a lot of things to really still be able to give us our games on Sundays and Thursdays and Mondays and now Tuesdays and Wednesdays sometimes. But and I give them all the props in the world for being as stringent as they have been with this thing. But again, you know, super scary stuff that went down in Baltimore with that whole Dez Bryant thing. It's weird, man. You know, and I know right now the country, this COVID-19 thing has then got to a boiling point, and you know, and it ain't no joke right now. You know, and when these dudes out here, you know, letting stuff like this happen is crazy. It is crazy. But you know, hopefully they're gonna handle on this thing, and we'll see what happens going forward. But that's what happened with that, and you know, Bryant got pulled out of the game, and you know, the game still got played, and it was all good, right? So everything was straight on that front. You know what I mean? The other thing I want to talk about though is the New York Jets. So I'm sitting there watching the New York Jets game, and you know, and I think I was doing something else. I think I was like doing some kind of, doing something with the podcast. I think I was making like clips or doing some kind of graphic design or something. I was doing something while I was watching the game. I went giving the game a full attention. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I'm looking up at it, glancing every once in a while. I think I was watching, you know, Red Zone Channel, so I was flipping around at the same time. But, you know, a little bit deep into it, I'm realizing, wait a minute. These Jets might end up knocking these Raiders off. What is going on here, right? So then I, you know, kind of perked up and started paying a little bit more attention as we got closer to the end of the game. And I'm like, wow, this is okay. So, you know, and I said this before, and I said it on a podcast a couple weeks ago, that the Jets were going to probably end up winning two games. So I don't know if that prophecy is going to come true because there's only three games left in the regular season. And I said that the Jets are going to win two games. And in one of those games, they was going to straight up beat somebody. And then in the other one, somebody was going to get got, right? And so this was a situation where John Gruden, Derek Carr, and the Las Vegas Raiders was getting ready to get got. And it didn't happen. Because of the weird stuff that happened at the end of the game. And let's check out some audio from the end of the game. Check this out.
Jets coming. Carr puts some air under it. Wide open is Ruggs for the touchdown. Miraculous.
So this is what's been on the minds of a lot of folks coming away from that game. You know, so I'm trying to imagine it. I'm trying to imagine if I'm on that coaching staff, the amount of pressure that you're under, you're not winning anything. You haven't won a single game all season. You get to the point where you're actually in the game now. And they're doing good stuff. I'm watching, you know, like I said, parts of the game that I watch, the Jets were executing at a pretty good clip. They were, the offense was clicking pretty good. The defense was holding up. And the special teams was working out okay. The coaching was pretty good. The play calling was great. Toward the end of the game, the clock management was actually in a pretty good situation. So I was like, okay, well, you know, kick the field goal, take the lead. 30 seconds left on the clock. You know, all the stuff that the clock management, everything was perfect. Like, I'm thinking to myself, there is no way possible that the Jets can let this one slip. There's no way. It is completely impossible. And then, you know, they dial this play up. And I think this was first down. I think it was, right? I think this was on the very first play after they got the ball back. After the kick return. I think it was like second down because they were actually on like the 46, 47 yard line on, you know, facing the Jets end zone. And Greg Williams dials up the defense that is so crazy. It looked like it was man to man with Henry Ruggs, right, and all of that. And he's in like a 4-man blitz. It is stuff like that where two things end up happening. This is the reason why your team is 0-12, right? And this is another reason why Greg Williams can't keep a job. Because of stuff like this. 30 seconds on the clock. All you got to do is keep everything on the field in front of you. Go into a deep zone. Keep everything in front of you. And you win the game. And you don't have to worry about being suckers for the rest of the season or going into next season 0-0. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't won a game in I don't know how long. And you had this one won. You know? You had this one won. And you let this happen. And Greg Williams loses the job over it. And I don't think nobody batted an eye about it. I don't think nobody really gave a damn because they were like, that was the dumbest thing ever, right? And of course, everybody been calling for Adam Gase's head for the last 4 or 5 weeks, ever since, you know, they were firing coaches up in Atlanta and Houston and Detroit and places like that. And Adam Gase still has a job, you know what I'm saying? And then you get your defensive coordinator doing stuff like this. It is 100% unacceptable. It's ridiculous, right? And actually, you know, they fired Greg Williams behind it, but technically, you know, they really should have got Adam Gase on this one too. I don't think he should have, because at the end of the day, you the head coach and everything falls on you. I know you give full autonomy to your coordinators or whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, the buck stops with the head coach. When that play call came down, you can hear it in your headset. You know what's happening. Like that play call comes down, and they call whatever this blitz was, man to man on him. And that you should have said no, let's not do that. You know, that play had no business being even getting down to the field. It shouldn't have. And for that, you know, that's why we in the situation that we're in. That's why the Jets are still haven't won a game and probably still won't win one. And that's why Greg Williams no longer has employment in the NFL because of stupid stuff like that. And I'm telling you, Adam Gase should be counting his lucky stars because if it was me, I probably would have went up to him first. I probably would have got him first and then got Greg Williams because they ended together. There's no way, like I said, there's no way that play call should have been made or could have been made without Gase knowing about it. I don't know how he squirmed his way out of the blame for that. I don't know how he pulled that off. Or maybe he was wanting to use Greg Williams as a scapegoat. Maybe the pressure was coming to him, and he was like, you know what? That was the defense right there. You know, that was Greg made that call. Maybe threw Greg under the bus. I don't know, right? You know, what was Greg Williams thinking about, right? Like to me, this looked like, maybe just me being silly, but to me, it looked like he wanted to flex a little bit. It looked like he was looking for that exclamation point to put on a pretty terrific defensive day. You know, they had a pretty good defensive day that day, and everything was great, and it was on them to end the game. And what better way to sack the quarterback that's on the final play of the game? Or maybe grab that pick six or whatever the case may be. He dialed it up. And to me, it looked like that was a chest-pounding moment, being over-aggressive and trying to look for that exclamation point because he was feeling himself because of the position they had and got themselves in that game, which really don't justify nothing because you ain't won nothing. You've lost every single game. There is no reason for you to be have no type of chest pounding moment or even looking for no exclamation point. You should take what was given to you. You did a good job. Take the W and go home. You know, that's all you got to do. You know, but he wanted to go for the jugular, man. And you know, like I said, I'm a fan of that when it's called for, when it's I guess when it's certain times that you can do stuff like that and get away with it, and everybody will celebrate it and celebrate that. And at certain times when you try stuff like that, you just come off looking pompous and just being a jerk with, you know, for no reason. I recall when Dirk Cutter was the head coach down in Tampa Bay a few years back, and I remember these teams were getting into these victory formations after they had pounded the Bucks into submission. The teams are getting into victory formations, right? And Dirk Cutter was sending blitzes at the team in victory formation, like stuff like that's the reason why he got fired. But stuff like that is uncalled for. That is that is a time where being being over aggressive is just it's going to be looked at and frowned upon because it's unsportsmanlike and stupid. And I think this play at the end of this game with the Jets and Raiders, it was a moment where Greg Williams decided to go for the jugular, add that exclamation point on a terrific defensive day. He wanted to send his boys in the locker room feeling good, you know. And, you know, and kudos for a coach for, you know, trying to inspire his men. And what better way? Like, look, on the face of it, it looks harmless. But when the result don't go your way, because honestly, if it had went the way he dialed it up, what would the conversation be like today, right? What would we be saying about the Jets and Greg Williams and all that? What would we be saying, right? The conversation would be different. But because it went the way it went, you know, we ended up, you know, discussing it the way we discussed it. So it was one of them weird situations, man, where, you know, when you skate on that thin line and, you know, it can either go this way or that way. And depending on which way it land, man, you either going to come out a superhero or you're going to probably get fired and lose your job, you know, behind it or whatever the case may be. But it is what it is. And so, you know, I think Greg Williams is, I think he understands, like, I'm pretty sure he's thinking about it now. And it's like, no, I probably would have did it different. He probably would stick, knowing him, he would probably stick to his guns and he'd probably be like, no, if y'all asked me to do that 100 times, I would have did the same thing. But I'm pretty sure he good with whatever decision, you know, happened afterwards. You know, you made the decision, you called a stupid play. You had the game won. You could have just went home and celebrated. But no, you wanted to, you know, and like I said, it depends on how you look at it. Maybe he was like, he was trying to inspire his guys. Cause you know, most people would run through a brick wall for Greg Williams, man. We saw, you know, how he had them folks wilding out in New Orleans back in the day, you know, going after people and stuff like that, you know, so we know his reputation. So, you know, I think this is one of them times, man, he was just wanting to go and think he was going outside the box and you know, and for me personally, like I said, I appreciate, any coach that can inspire like that or is creative enough to really think outside the box, but it's a line. There's a limit. There's a unwritten rule, you know, that, you know, there's certain things, certain lines you just can't cross and there's certain things you just don't do. And I think Greg Williams still, like, after all this time in the league, he's still trying to figure that out. You know what I mean? But, you know, and the question was posed last night on the live show, is that the dude, did I think that he would find employment again? And I'm like, hell yeah, he will, you know, because the same things that people fire Greg Williams for are the same things that intrigue people when they make that hire. Like, wait a minute. Yeah. You know, you're the guy who thought about the Bannergate stuff. Right. And you're the guy who dialed up, you know, this stuff. And you know, so let's get out of shot, especially if your defense is having issues, or especially like, I remember a few years back, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Mike Smith at the time, he was being criticized for his defense being super soft. And that's one of the things, man, you know, is in the NFL, you can't have that, you know? And so in a situation like that, who would you call? If Greg Williams was available, I'm pretty sure, you know, Arthur Blank and them would have been giving him a call. You know what I mean? Cause he will always find employment because of the crazy stuff that he likes to do. But at the same time, when you pull that trigger at the wrong time, it will get you fired. So like I said, the same things that get him hired, get him fired. And or same thing that get him fired, get him hired. Vice versa. It's just he's one of them people that's enigmatic like that. And you know, and it's a shame this is where it's gonna be, but he'll find another job. By the time the next season starts, he'll be employed again, I guarantee it. So with all that being said, I think it's time for us to go ahead and take a little break here real quick. And we will check out some sponsors from the cool people. And then we will, we're going to crash the Sage Sports podcast and we're going to find out what's going on with that. All right, here we go, y'all. So we'll be back in a minute.
What up, peeps? This your boy Glass, a.k.a. The Sage of Sports, and I have my own podcast, The Sage of Sports Podcast, where we talk everything and anything about the current topics in the sports world. I have the hot takes, talk about the latest news, players, trades, and transactions, scores, and my weekly NFL picks. So while you run on them errands, doing them chores, check the stuff off your honey-do list, go ahead, pop in your earbuds, click on the Sage Sports Podcast, take a listen, and be entertained.
Sunday's Best is brought to you in part by Sweetwater Music and Pro Audio. Since 1979, Sweetwater has been home for all music lovers, DJs, broadcasts, podcasters, and live streamers. The collection includes an impressive selection of guitars, microphones, DJ equipment, keyboards, drums and percussion, pro mixers, channel strips, accessories, and more from popular brands. You can save on names like Yamaha, Behringer, Rode M-Audio, Shure, Sennheiser, and Slate Digital. On top of all the amazing products offered at Sweetwater, you can go online and read the news and research from artists and experts in the industry. Sweetwater prides themselves on providing top-notch customer service. So if you ever have a question, you can count on our music experts at Sweetwater to resolve your issue. When you shop, just remember to use one of our Sweetwater coupons that I've included in the show notes. Remember, Sweetwater is Pro Audio. All right, as promised, I'm going to pop in on the Sage of Sports, you know, my homeboy Sage of Sports podcast. I'll pop in on his podcast real quick because he claims that we had some set up. You know, anyway, welcome to Sunday's Best Podcast, Sage of Sports Glass. What's going on, Glass? What's happening?
What up, Big Q? Let's go ahead. Wait. Let me go ahead and then set up the picture because it seemed like you forgot what it was about.
Okay.
This time last year, we had a bet that your Carolina Panthers was not going to make the playoffs.
Really?
Which they did.
I just want to.
Which was added to me. No. You ain't got nothing to say right now. I'm going to paint the picture real quick.
Yeah.
You don't remember.
Right.
Had a bet. You guys don't know me. I love my cigars. We had a bet on a 5-pack of Drone 3000. You know, those are my favorite everyday smoke. So we had a fight, and of course you guys know I won because the Panthers didn't make the playoffs. So evidently this man had amnesia over the summer.
Oh my God.
Because I had a lot of stuff coming to the house. It was no 5-pack of Padron.
Right. Okay.
The house. But that's all good. You my brother. I know where you live. I ain't worried about that.
Got it.
You got it. So come the breakdown during the summer, as we always start in July, I reminded him. He said he don't remember. Yeah. Make it better. We play against each other this year, double or nothing. He agreed. I got a witness, JB. JB probably didn't remember.
Wow.
But it's all good, man. But now the game comes up. Week 14, which is now.
Yeah.
We're coming to the game. My beloved Denver Broncos going up to that Bank of America Stadium to play Big Q's Carolina Panthers.
First of all.
Double of nothing.
I do recall owing you one box for the game last, or for something we talked about last year. I remember that. But this double of nothing. I think you're making this up. But you know what? We record everything. I just got to go back in the archives. I just got to look. You know, you said it was on one of the breakdown shows. I had to go back and look. But either way, you know, I'm gonna take your word for it because I know you were gonna try to pull the wood. I already owe you a box. I'm already a box down. You know what I'm saying? So you know.
So what you got actually telling me right now? You scared that you might not win this week?
No,
you have to give me a 10-pack. That's what it
sounds
like.
No, that ain't what it is. It's just, you know, I just appreciate the fact that you just like to make up stuff. And, you know, it's all gravy. I know you got your little cigar thing that you got going on. We're going to take care of it. So let's look at this game, man. This one snuck up on me. It kind of snuck up on me on the schedule. So I wasn't really.
Snuck up on me, too. Yeah. Oh, damn, we do play this
game. Didn't really looking at it. But then, you know, I look at where we at this far in the season where both teams sit 4-8. You know, I ain't gonna lie. You know, I think that's a little bit better than what we said Carolina was gonna be at this particular point. And I don't know what I forget what we said about Denver. I don't know what we said Denver was gonna be at this point. But I think we kind of was in the. I think we all was in agreement that Carolina's probably gonna win about 2 to 4 games, and I guess that's kind of where they at, right? You know?
I think I'm 6-10. I've been happy. We were 6-10.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I mean, I'm actually surprised that you know, Carolina. You know, we had that. You know, y'all remember like we had that little winning streak real quick, and I was kind of beside myself, and I was like, oh well, maybe the season's gonna turn out a little bit better than we anticipated. But no, it looked like it's settling back into what we thought it was gonna be from the beginning. Anyway, so you know, yeah. So I don't know. But, you know, like I said, I think this particular game, it ain't going to be no super exciting game. But then again, you know, we may see some. I just think, I don't know where we sit as far as the people that Carolina's going to bring to the game. I'm reading reports that Christian McCaffrey is cleared, but to me, it don't make a whole lot of sense to play Christian McCaffrey for the last three games of the season. To me, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't risk his health even further by playing him in a meaningless game like this. That's just my opinion. I wouldn't start him, but, you know, the reports are saying that he's cleared to go. He could go. If he goes, that could make the game a little bit interesting. You know, even though Mike Davis is still a serviceable back, he's been doing pretty good this season. I kind of like what he's been bringing to the table. We got a couple of our weapons on COVID list. DJ Moore, you know, was on a COVID list. Curtis Samuel, you know, stuff like that. The star linebacker, Shaq Thompson, you know, that's not a good look. Don't know what's going on at the quarterback position right now. Don't know if it's going to be. I don't think it's going to be Teddy Bridgewater. I think Teddy Bridgewater is probably going to be done for the season. I think. Not in the sense that his injury is that bad that they don't want to bring him back. I just don't think that there's, again, just like Christian, why bring him back? Yeah. So the thing is, I'm pretty certain it's going to be PJ, right? So that's what it looked like for Carolina. That's what y'all facing. So it's a ragtag bunch of, they just threw a squad together for y'all. I think, you know, looking at the competition, you know, ain't going to like completely ish all over you, Broncos, but looking at the competition, this is good enough to face that team, I think. and win, you know, in my personal opinion.
You telling me you bringing a ragtag bunch and you think you better than
listen, that's not my words.
4-8. Right. You don't really have too much to brag about.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
I said they're good enough to go in there and possibly win. You know, that's just the way I'm looking at it. So, you know.
Okay. Well, I'll just look at, because I do have Christian McCaffrey on one of my fantasy teams.
Yeah.
I'm just now looking at it. It says Christian McCaffrey showed a quad, was limited to Wednesday practice. And they're saying he now tweaked his quad, and it's still up in the air whether he's going to be playing or not. And I can, you know, like in 4-8, we're on the back end of the season, not making the playoffs. I wouldn't rush him up in there. Yeah. You know, I know he might be. When I heard this morning, I was watching ESPN. I heard this morning that he wants to play because it's going against his daddy's former team. Yeah. He want to show up for that, but man, if you ain't healthy, you ain't healthy, man. That's how I see it. So I'm not gonna hold my breath to say that he gonna play. I got him on my bench because I didn't expect him to be playing this week. So we'll see how that runs, man. But as of right now, it's a question.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And like I said, if I'm Matt Rhule, I'm not even looking at him or Teddy Bridgewater for the rest of the season. I mean, look, the possibilities of Carolina making the playoffs are so slim. You know, it would come 4-8 series. Even though, look, technically they're still in the hunt. Just like Denver, technically they're still in the hunt. But you need a lot of crazy stuff to happen for both teams to even, you know, be considered. So
I'm not holding my breath on my team. I love my Broncos. Been a Bronco fan since the 80s. All I got to say is this, man. People got hope. I got hope. Yeah. I'm a realist too.
Right.
I know damn well, especially with KC.
Right.
In our division.
Yes.
We have right. No wild card. You got KC rolling. I give credit to the Las Vegas Raiders. Mm-hmm. They running rough shots. So our chance to make a wild card, nil to none.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
I know. Hey, just finish up the season strong. Win 6-10, and I'll be happy.
Absolutely. I doubt Carolina going to get 6. I doubt Carolina will win another game. I think they lost like 4 games in a row until like last week when they brought PJ Walker in and snapped that 4 or 5 game losing streak that was on. That was rough. You won 3 in a row and then you lost like the next 6. That was kind of a tough pill to swallow. You know what I mean? But, you know, then I'm looking at the numbers, man, you know, the Panthers offense, 20th in the league, in yards, total yards, rushing yards per game, 20th in the league, rushing yards per attempt, 16th, you know, these numbers are just rough, man. Sacks tied for 12th with 22 on the season. Broncos got 32 on the, well, no, Carolina doesn't allow 22. Broncos have 32. They tie for eight. So they pretty good in the sack department. The passing yards, even though I talk a lot of junk about your quarterback, Drew Lock, you know, ace in the league. And, you know, no. That's pass. That's they defense on passing. That ain't Drew Lock. Sorry. Mm-hmm. He don't get no props for that. You know what I'm saying? But because he's 25th in the league when it comes to passing. 26th in the league. Sacks, tied for 14th. So I'm looking at third down efficiency, 28th in the league. Carolina is 20th in the league. And I know third down is one of the things that Carolina have been struggling with this season. They've been struggling with it bad. It's been rough. Red zone for both teams, I think, it's been a situation that both teams have been kind of struggling with. Carolina first half of the season, for whatever reason, all these trips to the red zone, I think, you know, about less than 40% of their trips to the red zone netted in either a field goal or nothing. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So, you know, that's a problem. That's a problem.
Yeah. You know what? I was looking at the rest of your schedule. I heard what you said, like, you don't know if you're going to win another game. I said, come on, man. Today I looked at your schedule.
Yeah.
When you at Lambeau Field to play the Green Bay Packers, and you at FedEx Field to play the Washington football team. Right. And then you end the season with New Orleans.
Yeah. Man, dude. So they don't look good, right?
Hey, save McCaffrey for next year.
Absolutely. You know,
bring him back now.
Or Bridgewater. I just think, you know, because you still got to figure out what you're going to do with Bridgewater. Like, you know, you brought him in for 2 years. You got another, you got to take next year to figure out what you're going to do. You mm-hmm. planning on bringing in another quarterback or. We're going to make Teddy our guy. I don't know. I mean, I know the fan base is sour on Bridgewater. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So from what I see on social media, man, you know, a lot of folks are screaming trade Teddy. You know what I mean? So
seriously?
That's what I've been seeing on social media.
Trade him for who?
I have no idea, you know. This is one thing that I think is interesting, though, you know, is that a lot of people, and this is just the craziest thing, if I see this happen, it'll be one of the most satisfying things that I've seen in my life. But a lot of folks on social media are saying that there's a strong possibility that one Cameron Newton might make his way back to Charlotte next year. So, I mean, that's in the air.
Cam would want to come back?
You know.
You know what? I could see that a little bit because he has an ego and he want to prove something to the owner of the Carolina Panthers.
Right.
But I wouldn't hold my breath on that.
Well, see, this is why I believe it's a strong possibility that Cam would actually really think about it. I think he would think about it because he still hadn't moved his family from Charlotte. It's still here. He just moved himself out to New England, right? Because he knew he wasn't going to be out there for a very long time. And, you know, they was going to stay in Charlotte until they figured out what the next step was, right? So his family is still here. And if the season didn't go the way he wanted it to go, I think it's for Cam, the season went better than most people thought it was going to go, but it didn't go as well as it was supposed to go. Because, you know, he was all on Instagram during the summer. I'm about to kill it. I'm gonna turn the NFL upside down and this, that, and the third. And it didn't work out that way for him. So this was that have been his... you know, reintroduction to the NFL didn't work out that way. So the bidding war that everybody thought was going to happen, probably not going to happen. I think if Tepper and Rule offer him the right kind of contract, especially something that's kind of long-term, nothing like what New England gave him, that less than $1 million for, you know, one seat, like that's some BS right there. I think if Tepper and Rule offer him something that look remotely like a long-term contract, he'll come back. I think so.
Mm.
You know,
I beg to differ because have you ever seen a quarterback come back to a team that got rid of him?
I haven't never seen it.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, we have a new coach, and a new new owner.
Yeah.
And we went through this whole thing last year, and I told you Cam wasn't coming back. They're going to let him go.
Right.
Cam, as an owner, I'm not going to let you go. Pride, ego, whatever you want to say, and then ask you to come back.
Look, they do it. They do it in other sports, and they've done it in other positions. Other positions have done that. I just ain't never seen it happen with a quarterback, but I've seen it happen with like wide receivers and running backs and things like that. I've seen that happen. You know, I've seen players leave a team and then they find their way back, but just I never seen it at the quarterback level. And this whole Cam Newton situation is a little bit more sensitive than that. It's a lot more backstory to it. And there's the question is, we seen what he's doing in New England right now with, you know what I mean, obviously he ain't got a whole lot of weapons up there, but is he your best choice at quarterback if when you're thinking about what's next for your team? Do you bring in a guy who you cut because you didn't believe in him, but now all of a sudden you want to bring him back because you think he's your best option? I don't know if that make a whole lot of sense. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. You know.
You might be, don't hold your breath on that one. I can't see that one actually coming to fruition.
Unless he want to be a backup, right? Which he ain't going to want to do, right?
Well, oh, no. You know he ain't going to want to be. But then who, if that's left on the table, what you going to do?
Right.
Kind of get what I'm saying? And there was something I was going to say about that. And who do the Patriots have if they get rid of Cam?
Right.
You might have to pay Cam $3 million, $5 million.
Right.
So I'm going to say $7 to $8
million. Which I don't think that's going to, I don't think that's going to keep him in New England. I think that he's going to have to get at least 18 to 25. He's going to have to get at least 18 to 25, at least for 3 years. I think that's going to be the minimum that Cam take. Cause I think he can get that. I think he can get that from a Los Angeles Chargers or a Jacksonville Jaguars or, who else out there need a quarterback?
There's a lot of free agent quarterbacks, man.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, yeah. It's like, okay, Cam, we don't need you. We go ahead. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Right.
Don't be out there.
Yeah.
I know he's not a 16-week quarterback. We talked about that last week.
Right.
But still, he's a quarterback.
But that's appealing to somebody like a Bill Belichick, though, right? He'll bring up Fitzpatrick in for 1.7 because he know Cam ain't going to go for that.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. Yeah.
Right.
So, okay, so let's talk about the Carolina Panthers. Yeah. You really think Teddy Bridgewater going to be gone?
I'm not really saying. All I'm saying is that I think that for what they invested in Teddy, we're not getting a return on that. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like.
Just one year.
And he's not playing on a very good team. Right? The team is not very good. It's some talent on the team, but they got to learn how to play together. They got to learn how to gel. This is their first year really playing as a unit. Can't put a lot of it on Teddy. When you watch him and watch what he did in New Orleans for those five, I mean, the sample size of five games, just be honest. That's all you had, right? Five games with an extraordinarily talented team. You know what I'm saying? So it was like mistake-free football. It looked so beautiful in a capsule. But then you bring him out of that vacuum and bring him into a place like Carolina when the talent level takes a sharp downturn and you get interception city. And it's just not a good look right now. It don't look good. You know what I mean? But if you temper and rule, you really look at your options. PJ Walker and Will Greer, that's it. You know what I'm saying?
So who would you get? Okay.
Yeah.
Answer that question. Next year is free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott.
Okay, he's an option.
Now let me tell you. Okay, we'll get to back to Dak.
He's an option.
Phillip Rivers.
No.
2-0.
Yeah.
Jacoby Brissett.
He's an option.
Jameis Winston.
Not an option. Not an option, no. Because you go have Jameis Winston playing for every team in the NFC, the NFC South.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Not an option.
Mitchell Trubisky. Yeah. Are you really thinking about that?
No, because I'm thinking outside the box. I'm trying to think if I'm Matt Tepper. I mean, Mike Tepper or Matt Rhule, would they look at a Mitchell Trubisky, give him a look? I think they would.
They might.
I think they would.
He did play for North Carolina.
I think they would give him a look. You know what I mean?
Y'all can have him. I'll drive him up there to you.
Right.
Andy Dalton.
No, not an option.
Yeah, Colt McCoy.
As a backup option.
Somebody going to give him a chance.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco.
Not an option. I don't think so.
Now, I'm going to tell you right now, as a fan of the hometown Bears, Bears my second team.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott sounds good.
Yes,
now, I heard this morning, get back to Dak Prescott real quick before we finish off what we're doing.
Yeah.
This morning, or I guess they were talking about on ESPN Get Up about what Marcus Spears said yesterday about Dak Prescott. Telling Dak Prescott didn't need to leave the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Look for a greener pasture.
Yeah.
I I guess he's on the franchise tag this year for $31.4 million. Mm-hmm. We know what's going on now. He at home rehabbing.
Yeah, but cashing the check.
He might say, man, I'm not looking for the money from Dallas no more because y'all don't know what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? So now they're saying that the ball is in his court once again, and that he should.
The ball been in Dak's court since they only won one game since he's been gone. Right.
Right.
So because they only won one game in his absence, that let them know that he's desperately needed back in on that roster. Right. And all they got to say is, hey, listen, look what y'all did without me. You know what I mean? Look what y'all did without me, or lack thereof. Right.
You know what I mean?
So he got plenty of leverage.
Yeah. You know? I think he should leave.
I think he should, too.
You know what I'm saying? Because who we have out there that need quarterback? Like I said, Chicago Bears need a quarterback. Carolina Panthers need a quarterback.
Yep, Jacksonville, Chargers, you know.
No, Chargers don't need a quarterback.
No, because they got Herbert, right? That's right.
They got Herbert.
Yeah,
they got Herbert. They fine.
Yeah, they got Herbert.
Hell, Denver Broncos.
Well, they kind of invested in Locker. I think they going to ride that one for a little bit.
Man, he on a rookie deal. You a backup.
Right, you know, but the thing is that he was a first rounder though, wasn't he?
What that mean?
That mean that that's a high round investment. That's a first rounder is
we flubbed on first round quarterbacks for a long time. It ain't nothing new.
You got to milk a first rounder, bro. You got to get your.
No. Nah. All right, since we're talking about Dallas, I know we got to get on. But anyway, Mike McCarthy.
Yeah.
One and done?
He ain't coming back. I'm going to tell you why he ain't coming back. He ain't coming back because he embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Well, I ain't going to say he single-handedly embarrassed Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones embarrassed himself, and he don't want to be on the hook for what happened. Because basically, you can trace Dallas's failures this season in 2020 all the way back to Jerry's reluctance to, number one, to really do what he needed to do with Jason Garrett 2 years ago, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To finally pull in the trigger in haste because he had a meeting with Mike McCarthy, and all Mike McCarthy doing is sitting there shining up his Super Bowl ring, and Jerry Jones is salivating every time he looked at it, like, I want another one of these so bad. And Mike just sitting there with the ring in his hand, like, yeah, I'm gonna bring one of these to you, right? And that was a mistake. It was a mistake. Everybody knew that was the wrong thing to do. Like, out of all the options that he had at that particular time, why Mike McCarthy? Because he got a Super Bowl ring that he won 8 years ago?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Come on, man. You know what? It's like I blame everything on Jerry Jones and in the Dallas Cowboys organization. How does it look that you got rid of your how could I say illegitimate son?
Yeah.
And what's his name again? I'm sorry.
Jason Garrett.
It gave you a regular 8-8 record.
Yeah, he did. I mean,
get rid of him. You bring in Mike McCarthy because he spent the night over. Like you said, he brought his ring to the house.
Oh, absolutely.
Spent the night at your house.
Make sure he brought that
Mike
ring.
McCarthy. And you had your choices of quarterback of head coaches to pick.
Yeah.
And everybody knew. And they listened to what Aaron Rodgers said when they got rid of Mike McCarthy that he does not adjust.
Right. Yeah.
During the game, he's stuck in his ways, and Aaron Rodgers couldn't even tolerate it.
Oh yeah.
So you seen the writing on the wall, and you still pick Mike McCarthy, and you see that he does not adjust. You got a 3-8 record.
Yeah.
And he's doing worse than the person you fired last year.
Yeah.
So, what was this about 2-3 years ago when Arizona did the same thing, one and done with Steve Weiss?
Weiss. Yeah, and then Cleveland did the same thing with
Freddie Kitchens.
Freddie Kitchens, and they did it one time before with the dude they brought from Carolina up there. I forget what his name was. That's how a cup of coffee he had in the NFL as a head coach. Forget what the dude's name was.
Oh, dang. I can't remember.
But he was Carolina Panthers offensive coordinator. And he went up there and to Cleveland and got fired 9 games in, I want to say it was. I forget what his name was.
I can't remember that one.
I forget what his name was. But you know, the compound on Jerry Jones's embarrassment, and the reason why I know that his, well, number one, think about it, he's old as dirt, right? And and for everything for Jerry Jones is or bust. It's, we got to win it or bust. That's what it is for him. And the 2020 had been a complete embarrassment because he made all these mistakes. Compound that with he lost his franchise quarterback, who they did dirty in this whole process, right? They did him completely greasy this whole entire time, and it came back and haunted him because he got hurt and he at home cashing checks right now, right? You know what I'm saying? They still paying that man, and he's sitting at home chilling. That's on Dallas Cowboys. That's on Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
So they paying an injured quarterback who they not gonna get back. We not gonna see Dak Prescott in another Dallas Cowboys uniform. That's never gonna happen again. And they paying him. They paying him to sit at home and chill when they should have took care of him 2 years ago. Jason Garrett, they should have took care of that problem 2 years ago. And he wouldn't be in the situation with Mike McCarthy because he would have had better choices 2 years ago. Yep. But because you want to do everything right now, you string Dak Prescott along, you make a hasty decision at head coach, this is where you at. You know, this is why you got Andy Dalton and then Ben DiNucci and all this ridiculousness that's going on right now.
Yeah.
That's why. You know, this is why. So, yeah, to sum it all up, Jerry is upset with himself because he's embarrassed, and I guarantee you he's going to take that out on Mike. And I guarantee Mike is probably going to be excused before the end of the regular season. I think.
Ooh, this year?
Yeah, I don't think he finishes the season.
Wow.
I don't think he finishes the season. I think Jerry going to make one of them stupid little classy, what do you say, we're our class, you know, the whole speech he had at the beginning of the season.
Right.
Grace. That's what he said. Grace, right? That's what it was, right? We are grace. Mm-hmm, and they're going to gracefully, mutually split with it's going to be an amicable, classy, graceful thing with Mike McCarthy. That's what's going to happen. You know what I mean? You know? And Mike did a terrible job.
Marvin Lewis out there.
Marvin Lewis is out there. I don't think Marvin and Jerry ain't going to work, though. Yeah. Marvin and Jerry ain't going to work. Yeah, Marvin and Jerry ain't going
to
work.
See, here's the point. What I would say to Jerry, like, Jerry, listen, man. You about damn near 90-something years old. Right. You got too much more time left on your hands. Right. You gotta bring me up in here, and I get you closer than when you've been the past.
I mean, it's time for him to sit back and just relax and just pay. Look, you got all the money in the world. Just pay somebody to do the job, man.
Exactly. Right. You're a great businessman, great marketer, but you suck as a GM. Yeah. I understand that. It's all right.
Yeah, just pay somebody to do the job, man. And sit in the box and cheer like every other owner. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Right?
That's what you do.
Exactly.
You know, count your money, man. Count your chips.
All right, man. We just went off the road. It's all good.
It's all good.
Good content. Ain't gonna trip.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this game real quick, man.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give you a reason why my Denver Broncos gonna win it.
Okay.
We basically said it from the get go.
Yeah.
No, you don't have a Christian McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
Might not have Teddy Bridgewater.
Yep. Or DJ Moore.
Yeah.
Or Shaq Thompson.
So. We have a couple of people. Well, we got one. We got Bouye, who's been suspended for 6 games because of PEDs. But that's all good. We got a nice little defense. Drew Lock. I'm not saying he's a top 20 quarterback, but all I need you to do is not make any.
Drew Lock gives us a chance to win. Drew Lock gives that defense.
Man, just don't do it. Because we had a chance to win last year against the reigning champs.
Yeah.
Kansas City Chiefs. He threw that interception with 1 minute left on the clock.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Number one, we got a double head running monster and Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay. We got enough, man. I know it's in your house.
Yeah.
But this year, there is no such thing as home court advantage.
No, it ain't.
Field advantage
it really ain't.
It is what it is. But I just think we have enough. It's going to be a close game. No more than 3 to 7 points.
Yeah.
But matter of fact, I'm going to tell you how we're going to win. We're going to win off of McManus field goal.
Wow. Well,
so
you know,
that's how we're gonna win.
Okay, so you know what I will say this. I think we limping into this game. Advantage, we got two advantages. We playing at home, and we got the visiting quarterback who like to throw the ball to us. I like that. That gives us an option right there. I do think we're missing a bunch of the key players. It's going to prove to be a challenge, right? But I just believe that with Denver's sluggish offense, that gives us a chance at least to stay in the game. I don't think either team score more than 20 points in this game. But of course, I'm taking my Panthers, sliding this one out, you know, with about a 3 to 4 point win in this one. I think, you know, you said a McManus field goal. I know our guy Sly. It's been a little bit rough with the kicks.
I see what he did last week. I just leave it at that.
I don't know if I trust him enough to, you know, his leg enough to win this game. I don't know if I did. We got to win this one a different way. So, you know, maybe it's a defensive play that wins the game for us. Maybe it's a special teams game that seals it up. But I can't depend on our kicker's leg. I'm not going to do that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna do that. But I think we can pull this one off though. I think, you know, like I said, this game is gonna be one of the exciting game of the week and nothing like that. But it's tucked in there, what is it, 1 o'clock or something like that. It'll be a nice game to kind of like flip to every once in a while to see what's going on. But yeah, you know, but then, you know, you said you claim that we got so much on the game. I'm still picking my Panthers to win.
It's all good, man. I got room in my humidor.
There you go, right?
Room in my humidor, and I smoke pipes now, so you all good, man.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, man. Hey, listen, much success to, you know, you and the Sager Sports Podcast. I'm glad you kind of let me kind of come through from time to time to become like a little guest on the show. I definitely appreciate it. Yeah.
Always got to see, brother. Always got to see. And I thank you. And you jamming on your Sunday's Best podcast, same on the same station, AKA Anchor FM. Keep on doing what you're doing. And since I got you, put yourself over. Tell everybody where they can find you.
Oh yeah, it's Team Boy TV Turbo on YouTube. We're doing a lot of shows there. Still, we're getting prepared for the postseason, which it should prove to be kind of exciting. I think we're gonna try to change the format a little bit. I think we're gonna. We tried this one time before, it didn't work out too well. We're gonna try to welcome the audience into the conversation by getting some live phone calls going. We're gonna try. We're gonna see how it works. We'll give it a shot. Wes on Wednesday night on YouTube, Periscope. Wes, we had on there, YouTube, Periscope, Facebook, Urban Arena, Facebook page, sportscaster.com. If you guys, you know, so it's a lot of stuff going on over there. So we got that going on. Sunday's Best podcast. We're doing that on Thursday. It'll come out today sometime, or sometime before the end of the games come. Do we got a game tonight? Do they move our game tonight? Do we got a game tonight? I'm not sure.
We got a game tonight, Patriots and Rams.
Yeah, so we'll try to have a podcast out before the game. So we'll see. We'll see how that work out. And of course, I'm still producing the State of the Union podcast by Vernie B, a New York Giants podcast, which, you know, is a little short, little, she's giving people history and, you know, diverse opinions of her New York. To me, it's entertaining. And for people who really
love it,
want to dive into, and I guess you got to be a New York Giants fan to really appreciate it. But for other people who are not a New York Giants fan, who kind of want to hear what a diehard fan, how they feel about certain takes and certain things, she do give a nice little spin on her team. And I think it's pretty cool, you know. So I'm producing that show. When that comes out sometime during the weekend, we'll have that show ready for you guys too. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Ooh, I want to co-sign on the State of the Union. I listen to episodes at work and good stuff, man.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't need that long episode, right. That long podcast. Right. You just want something to get you from here to there. So,
absolutely.
Good stuff, man.
It's pretty good, right? Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
So we appreciate the love, man. And again, I appreciate everybody who's been supporting everything that we do as a unit and as on our little solo efforts and stuff. And shout out to the homie. The Ray with Shogun JB. Yeah. Again, man, I appreciate you letting me come through. And I guess I'll catch up with you next week.
All right, cool.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, y'all know what time it is. It's the B-Rock Hour, and it's time for me to give y'all my picks. First of all, let me say this. I enjoyed stepping through, and I always have nice conversations. And I like getting to the NFL talk with Glass, man. I appreciate his NFL knowledge, and I look into it. I have to go back into our archives and see about this whole gentleman's bet. I don't know if I, you know, 100%. I think he's making it up, but you know what I'm saying? We'll find out here pretty soon. But for right now, I got to give you guys our week 14. My week 14 picks, you know, last couple weeks out of regular season, man. Playoff jockeying for position is going on right now. a lot of that going on in this week's game. So playoff implications abound. So let's get started here. Let's go. Tonight we have a showdown between the New England Patriots. Cam Newton goes to L.A. Hollywood Cam goes to L.A. and faces up against the Rams. I'm going to take the home team here. I think the Patriots are trying their best to kind of scramble and get into these playoffs. The Rams are sitting there really just trying to secure their spot. They've already been seeded, but they haven't really clinched a playoff berth yet. But they're in the catbird seat, and I don't think the New England Patriots got enough to hold on to this one. Okay, we're going to our Sunday games. Starting with the early games, we have Minnesota going to face Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are right now on the outside looking in. Everybody thought they were a guaranteed lock to have a playoff position, and that's not the case. You know what I mean? So right now, you have the New Orleans Saints, Green Bay Packers, Seattle Seahawks, Tampa Bay outside looking in. They need this game. I think they'll win it. They're at home. It's against Minnesota. I like Tampa Bay in this game. New York Giants pulled off with one of the most amazing things last week. They are in a really good position right now. They pretty much got their spot in the representing leading the NFC East. So they got their spot locked up pretty good, but not officially yet with being the leaders of the NFC East. They got a tall task with Kyler Murray coming to New York. They had to deal with that. I don't think they got enough to get it done, but luckily for them, they'll still end up making the playoffs, I think, because of the strength or lack thereof of their division. New York goes down to the Arizona Cardinals at home. Kansas City squares off against the division leader. I think Miami Dolphins they're not the division leaders, but they're close. I think they're kind of tied up with the Buffalo Bills, or close. KC goes to Miami. I think Miami still got a good chance of making the playoffs, even though there are right now two teams from the AFC East representing. Buffalo is already in there. I think they have like the fourth spot right now. And then Miami is out there on the outskirts looking in. But they got a chance of making it, but I doubt it. So KC will blow them away in this game. It ain't even going to be a contest. Hey, AFC South showdown. Tennessee Titans. After, they took that L. They took that L, and it was kind of embarrassing. You know what I mean? It is what it is. They're going to take that out on Jacksonville. Their old division foes, they will take it out on them. Tennessee goes to Jacksonville. I like Tennessee's chances. I think they can pretty much lock up their playoff spot either in this game or next week's game. Dallas, wow. What more can I say? And then this Dallas versus Cincinnati game, look a little terrible on paper. Even though they're playing against Cincinnati with their third string quarterback or whatever the case may be, I still like the Cincinnati home team against the Dallas Cowboys team, which I don't, I'm not giving them another game this season. I think they'll probably lose out for the rest of the season. All right, now we go into the Houston, another team that really disappointed this season, going to Chicago. Lately, Houston been playing pretty good, though. They've been playing some pretty good football. Defense has been shining a little bit. And actually, J.J. Watt has been actually doing a whole lot better since, announcing a few weeks back that, he wasn't coming back to the Texans or whatever. But he actually been playing pretty good. I guess he's trying to put an audition tape together for his next team. But they go into Chicago, and part of me want to give Houston the win on the road here. Yeah, I think I'm going to stay with Houston on the road. I think Houston goes into Chicago and get this one. Houston got a momentum right now. They playing pretty good football. I don't think they, with that start they had, it's keeping them, unless, the hell freeze over, they really, the playoffs, they can forget about the playoffs. But they're playing inspired football right now. I think they go into Chicago and get it done. The game that me and Glass was talking about, Denver Broncos coming to Carolina, Bank of America Stadium. And it's weird stuff going on. No, Chris McCaffrey's been cleared to play, but I don't think he's going to play. I mean, if I'm Matt Rule, why play Chris McCaffrey in a meaningless game in week 14 of the season? The playoffs, technically they're still in the hunt, but it'll take an act of nature to get Carolina into the playoffs at this point. I don't think Teddy Bridgewater's going to be playing either. Carolina's probably going to, wind it down for the season. I think, we'll just see some, you know, sporadic starters in there from here and there, you know, just to pad the stats or whatever. But, you know, the play against Denver, the team ain't very good. Both teams are 4-8. I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of offense in this game. We're going to see a lot of, you know, three and outs in this game because both teams are pretty terrible on third down. But, I, you know, I'll give the edge to Carolina. Maybe that Carolina's defense will show up and and turn the tide. And turn the tide, and you know, and get this one, you know, a little sneaky win over the Denver Broncos here. The New York Jets, who almost had the game won last week, let the game slip through their fingers against the Raiders. They got another shot. They're going on the road this time to Seattle, which, you know, no wins in Mikasa. You can't go to Seattle and get no wins, especially if you're a very bad team like the New York Jets. They had opportunity to get it done last week, couldn't get it done. So they won't get it done this week either. They stay winless through 14, I think, for the Jets, right? And then, of course, we have the Indianapolis Colts going into Las Vegas, into that Death Star to face off against the Raiders, who had a tangle with the New York Jets last week and almost gave up the ghost. You know what? And because of that, you know, and I think Henry Ruggs was spectacular. He saved the game, him and Derek Carr. I thought that was a beautiful thing. But Indianapolis has been playing some inspired football as well. I like them going into Las Vegas getting the win. I like Indy in this game. The Washington football team coming off probably the biggest win of their whole entire season as they knocked off the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers last week. And now they're rolling into San Francisco and they're feeling good about themselves. You know what? I think two wins in a row is on the marquee for the Washington football team. I think they go into San Francisco and get the job done. I like the Washington football team in this game. The New Orleans Saints, with their number one seed right now, they can lock their position up with this game. They go into Philadelphia to face off against the Eagles, who are having a situation at the quarterback position. They don't really know what's going on. Catch them while they're unaware. So I think New Orleans goes in and blindsides the Philadelphia Eagles at home in Philadelphia. I like the Saints in this game. The Atlanta Falcons go out west today, face off against the LA Chargers. I don't know which way to go in this game. The Chargers are not very good. They're a team that kind of hangs around. The Atlanta is a team that like to give up the ghost at the end of the game. So this game could go either way. But I think the longer it goes, the more it favors the Chargers. If the Atlanta can jump out early, they can probably win this one. I think they offensively are a better talented team. But I just think if they let the Chargers stay with them, Chargers will probably end up winning the game. You know what? I'm going to go with the home team. I'm going to go with the Chargers in this one. The Green Bay Packers going and facing off against the division foe. They have the They have the number three seed right now. Nothing locked up. They are a game back from the New Orleans Saints, and they need the New Orleans Saints to drop two in a row. And for them to win two in a row, for them to regain that number one spot, I don't know what's going to happen with three game set, but this is an easy one. They go to Detroit, who just fired their head coach, and Matt Patricia, they're not feeling really good. But the trend of this season has been when a team fires their coach, they come back the next week and they win the game. But I don't know. Green Bay's a little bit too strong. I think they go into Detroit to get the job done. Pittsburgh coming off a kind of embarrassing loss against the Washington football team. They're going to Buffalo, and they're going to try their hand there. And you know, it's crazy for me to say this, but this is going to be the one. This is the algorithm pick of the week. I think Pittsburgh goes to Buffalo and suffers a second consecutive loss in a row. They go to Buffalo and take another L on the chin. Not to say, that'll probably be their only two losses for the season, but I think getting this monkey off their back, this the whole thing with Washington, I think it shook their confidence a little bit. Buffalo was going to prey on that. And I think Pittsburgh goes down for 2 weeks in a row. You see the Pittsburgh Steelers lose. And then to cap things off, and this was one that I cannot wait to see. This was going to be our Monday nighter on ESPN at 8:15. The Baltimore Ravens go into a Cleveland dog pound, face off against a spectacular coming off last week's performance with Baker Mayfield. They did a lot of really, really good stuff in Cleveland. And Cleveland right now is in the playoff picture, and Baltimore is on the outside looking in. Baltimore needs to win this divisional matchup in order to try to claw their way back into the playoff contention, because right now there are how many AFC North? Pretty much Cleveland and Pittsburgh are in because Pittsburgh has the number one seed, and then Cleveland, I think, has the six or seven. Someone ran in there. So Baltimore, they didn't have room for everybody. So Baltimore, they need to win this game, unfortunately. And it's the part that I really like. Unfortunately, I think Lamar Jackson will get humbled. Baker Mayfield going to show Lamar Jackson what time it is in this game. And I think Baltimore going to go in there, and Cleveland going to show him what's up. Because I think Cleveland is finally going to break that 18-year curse, and they will make a playoff appearance in 2020. And Baltimore will not, you know, and that's going to, and I don't know, a lot of people ain't going to like that, you know, but that's kind of the way it like it's going to roll. And I'm happy about it. And I think it's going to be great. And I cannot wait to see how that's all going to play out. And it should be good. It should be great. And have a lot of fun with it. But I want to thank everybody for checking out the podcast again this week. If you're downloading it, wherever you're downloading it from, wherever you're streaming it from, I think it's a pretty good, cool thing that you guys are supporting the podcast the way you guys do. If you're looking at it on the, going straight through Anchor, clicking on the links or whatever, going to the podcast website, there is a place on there, two things I want to bring you guys' attention. There's a button on there that you can press to help support the podcast. You can actually donate a little or donate a lot, whatever you feel like doing to help your boy out. It all goes back into the podcast to make it bigger and better, and, you know, make it better quality for you guys. Also on there, there's also a button where you can actually leave a short voice message for me. Maybe you want to ask me a question, maybe you want me to discuss something, maybe, you know, whatever, you just want to say what up. You know, that's always it's a button you can press, you can record your voice there. Like I said, if it's something that you want me to discuss or whatever, I'll definitely play it back on the show. But if you want your chance to be on the Sunday's Best Show, that's your chance to do it right there. I definitely appreciate everybody again for, you know, checking out the podcast and following me on social media. So all the stuff that happens on social media, you guys, it's been a fun ride. It's cool, man. We really rolled into the postseason. It's getting close. And it's getting exciting. So until next week, man, y'all guys, take it easy. It's been real. Peace.